Perek, so far still in order, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalid. For the Mishnah, the Mishnah's on the sheet. Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda, V'Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, Kiblu Mehem. So these two pairs, this is the first time in Perek Yavos we have what's famously known as the Zugos, the pairs. And as a whole, what does it mean, the pairs? One was the Nasi, and one was Abed in the Rosh Yeshiva. The different roles, leadership of Klal Yisrael, and whole discussion about exactly the role the Zugos are, maybe for another time. So right, because previously we had Anshe Knesset Gedolah, we had Shimon HaTzadik and Antagonus Ish Socho, and now we have the pairs of Yossi ben Yoezer from the place called Sreda, and Yossi ben Yochanan from Yerushalayim, Kiblu Mehem. They received from Antagonus Ish Socho and Anshe Knesset Gedolah. Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Sreda Omer. So it's interesting that he's the only one that says, tracking all the Zugos, who says what. Three statements. Your house should be a meeting place, a gathering place for chachamim. You should be misabik. You should
walk.
No, it's not. So the whole what exactly means, we'll just go with Rashi for now, but we'll see another explanation. Rashi says, what does it mean, misabik? Mishamshan, you're mishamish them. You interact with them. You take care of the needs of the chachamim. You get involved, right? Shimush is the best translation for the word shimush. To mishamish tamidei chachamim means you serve the tamidei chachamim. You physically and with their needs. Lashon avak va'afer. You're even involved on the dust of their legs. You help them out with all their needs, whatever may be needed. B'habi shosav v'samas devrayim, and you should drink with thirst their words. So obviously the Mishnah's major theme was Torah. That's what we're going to discuss tonight, acquiring Torah and having the proper perspective on Torah. And that's on a very broad level, that's what bridges these three things together. Beis Vad l'chachamim, your house, the chum should gather there, right? Beis Vad, a gathering place, whatever. The literal meaning of this, as the Mefarshim explain, Rabbeinu Yonah says, not on the sheet, that a Beis Vad is that when the chacham need to make an important meeting, right? Let's say you hear stories like the old time in Eretz Yisrael when the government first started, or even before, like the old yeshuv, whenever they had to have an important meeting, so all the chacham at the time would get together. Now they have like the vada, the Rosh Yeshiva, similar thing, and they have to decide on a very important issue. So they'd always need a place to have their meeting. So the best for you, you should strive that your house should be that type of place when the chacham need to get together and discuss things that only the chacham would talk about. They trust you. You're such a confidant of the chacham, and they're going to pick your house to be that type of place. So that's what a person should strive for, that their house should be the type of place where the chacham would gather and have a beis vad. So that obviously means that you should have a Torah-centered home, because that's where the chacham are going to want to gather, in a place where they could feel most comfortable in their own surroundings. Again, you're following after the chacham, and you're servicing them, and you're attaching yourself into them, and you're thirsty to learn their Torah, to learn their words. But the deeper connection between all these three things, what the Mishnah is trying to strive at, is that there is more than, when we say, for example, to acquire Torah, for a person to have a connection to Torah, to learn Torah, so what would you think? How does a person acquire Torah? How does a person connect with Torah? So all he needs is some svarim and a quiet place, maybe a chavrusa. And as long as he has the ability and the self-control and the ability to sit and focus, so then he'll be great. Then he'll succeed, he'll become a Talmud Chacham, and he'll become one who is attached to the Torah and really acquire Torah. But what we see from this Mishnah is that there's much more. In order to have a connection with Torah, it's much more than just having a sefer and learning and understanding. But there are other things in your life that the Torah has to influence. And it goes in both directions. The Torah has to affect your life, and you have to do things in order to connect yourself to those things beyond just the learning. So let's just take the first example. Yebeischa beis vad l'chachamim. So what does your bias mean? Your house is more than just your individual self. The house is the place that you've established where you're able to go beyond yourself, right? If a person was just interested in themselves, so you don't really need a house for just yourself. The reason why you need a house is so you can have a family, and you can have other people in your house, and your house could be a place that represents you, but does much more than just you. It goes beyond you. It's a place to raise your family. It's a place to have other people gather, and ideally have the chachamim gather in your house. That's what we say, yeah, beis vad l'chachamim, that the Torah that we attach ourselves to has to go beyond us. It has to be the Torah that we learn has to make such an impact on us that it could then flow out into our house. We could have a Torah house. Our house could be a Torah atmosphere. And that's the first thing that Chazal and the Mishnah are teaching us, these two zugos of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, that we should strive to make our house that type of place. So the way to do that is to have the attitude that the Torah is not just a book. It's not just something I learn and I process information. It becomes part of my life, and that part of my life that is going to influence my house. I'm going to have Sfarim in my house. Some of the Rishonim explain. We'll see this come up in a later mission also, but some Rishonim explain, some of the Mefarshim, the Achronim, that the Medrash Shmuel explains. They ask, you know, not everybody could reach this lofty level. Ideally, we should all have a base Baal HaChachamim, and that when there's a big Chacham in town, he's going to want to stay by our house. But that only happens for one person. He can only stay at one, so maybe he'll sleep at one person, he'll eat at another person, he'll have an oneg at a third person, so the wealth gets spread around. But you could be a very high-standing member of the Torah society, and you still won't be able to be Zocha, that your house is the base of Baal HaChachamim. So how do we make up for this? So some Mefarshim say, it just means that it needs to be the type of place where they would be comfortable. They don't actually have to show up as they would be comfortable, but as long as they have many options. But other Mefarshim say that a way to get that, a base Baal HaChachamim, without having an actual meeting of Chachamim in your house, is you have Sfarim. You have Sfarim in your house that you learn, and even if you don't necessarily learn all of them, you know, to when people walk into your house and they see a nice bookshelf with various Sfarim, they're going to say, wow, this is a Torah home, and that feeling could be contagious. And the Maharal, in his Perish Derech Chaim on Pirkei Avos, so he takes the idea of a house one step further, and he says that why do we focus on a house? It says a person's house really should be a reflection of what he's all about. He says, "Ein safik ki beiso asher sham diraso hu ikar gadol kasher hu beis Eloki kodesh." A person's house could be like a beis hamikdash, could be a house of Hashem. Mafisha adam tamid sham. A person spends a lot of time in his house, hopefully. Kasher beiso asher sham diraso b'mayla nichshav adam sheish l'mayla gadolah milyona. If a person can turn his house into a higher thing, just like he's supposed to turn himself into a higher being, so then your house becomes like a, almost like a Migdash or a Beis Elokei, because your house can stand for something much higher than just the bricks that it's made up from. And then he says, what does it mean, your house? And a house is not just for a person alone. The purpose of the house is for his wife, his children, his community members. If your house could be a place for Chachamim, so that says a great thing about you, because you've established your house to be what he calls a Beis Elokei, a godly place. So what we see, first step, is that the Torah has to go beyond us and infuses itself into our house, and we're able to use our house as a place that the Torah that we learn, the Torah that we connect to, can connect to our families and other people. And then how do we do that? How does it become that the Torah is just not just words that we learn, but things that really go into us and affect our personalities, and we're able to live with the Torah? So these zugos are giving us advice on how to do that. The first advice is v'havi mis'abik ba'afer raglayim, that you should be mishamish, literally as Rashi said, be mishamish tamidei chachamim. That if you can't bring the chachamim into your house, at least you should go out and seek them. Find people who are chachamim, and don't just learn from them. Don't just go listen to a shiur, and that's it, right? Especially nowadays, 2014, it's a great bracha that you could listen to shiurim from people who you would have never learned from before, but sometimes that's not enough. So first of all, you should take advantage of local Talmidei Chachamim, and we have plenty here, which is a great thing to take advantage of. And even if you're going to listen to someone who lives out in Yerushalayim or in Los Angeles, with the beauty of technology, you could also get in touch with them. You should contact them and say, I listened to your shiur. I really enjoyed your shiur. I want to talk to you about this and this comment in the shiur, or talk to you in general, because it's a way to connect to as many chachamim as we can, and it's accessible nowadays. You know, some people are hard to track down, but enough people are accessible, and that's really a key of shimish tamidei chachamim, because it's not enough just to learn and process the information. Part of what's unique about Torah, opposed to other subjects, is that you can learn from a professor of biology, and his personality and his what he's involved in has no imprint on what he's teaching. He walks in, teaches his subject, walks out, and whatever he does at home or in his own life doesn't affect at all how he teaches his subject. But what the beauty of Torah is that part of the process of learning Torah is you're learning from someone, a Rebbe, a Chacham, who is supposed to embody and live that. So the more you learn from them, not just information, but you're able to attach yourself to their other areas of their life. That's where they, some of the Mepharshim say, what does it mean, offer? Low, the dust. It means not literally the dust. It means even things that they do that other people think is the dust. They're not so important. Obviously, we're going to attach ourselves to their words of Chachma. But what about their regular, what the Gemara calls Sichas Chulin, their regular everyday conversation? So what the Mishnah is saying is that we should even learn from that. We should find Chachamim where there's something to learn from, even the way they speak about normal things, the way they run their errands, the way they spend time with their children.
There's a difference between the second one and the third.
Misabik and Shosa.
The Divrehem has to do with
the Torah.
But the talking as well. I would think the second thing is simply,
more actions.
Right.
Right.
Look at what, how they act.
Exactly. Right.
Not as much as what they say,
right,
versus how they act.
Exactly. Yeah.
What they do.
That's right. That's exactly what Shimush Tamnei Chachamim means, and that's what we're going to look at this this Rambam here on the sheet. If you look down, you got a number of them, but if you look at source number 4, here there's not so many, so 4 out of 5. Source number 4 is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, who gives a very important perspective on this Mishnah. He quotes this Mishnah. This is Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Beis. Mitzvah Saseh, Lehidabik B'Chachamim, B'Talmideyem K'dil Lumod M'Maseyem. Exactly what you just said, their actions. And the Rambam says, it's a mitzvah asay. For the Rambam, those are not, those two words of mitzvah asay are not words that he just throws out. The Rambam could say, it's a great thing, he knows how to say that, Maila Gedola, or Midas Chasidus. When the Rambam says mitzvah asay, it means it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. And it's just like putting on tefillin or taking lulav. Because it's a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment, lihidabek b'chachamim.
Or letting
candles is a mitzvah, that is a mitzvah asay, but it would be a mitzvah the Rabbanon, right? Because in the Torah, if you look in Chumash, it doesn't say anything about Hanukkah candles. They added that mitzvah on later at the time of the Chashmonayim, but it's equal, it's a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah, but here it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. Hanukkah is unique, it's one of the what we call a mitzvah de Rabbanon, a rabbinic mitzvah. So mitzvah zaseh lehidabek b'chachamim v'tamideyim. What is the word lehidabek? Like the Hebrew, modern Hebrew word devek. Devek means glue. Lehidabek means tvekus, to be attached to. It's a positive mitzvah to attach yourself to the Chachamim. It's interesting that he says, and their students. And their, you know, you could be equal to their students. But tell me to him, kidei, why? Why is it a mitzvah? L'mod mimaseyem. Not to learn necessarily from their Torah. That's a separate mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To learn from their actions. Ke'inyan shenemar ubo sidbak. The Torah says, and in him and it, you should attach yourself. Simple explanation of the pasuk means Hashem. You should be attached to Hashem. The Gemara asks, the Rambam is paraphrasing the Gemara here, V'chi asher l'adam lihidabek b'shechina? Can a person literally attach himself to the Shechina? We could try to attach yourself to Hashem by following after his ways, as the Rambam says in another place, but the Shechina is so above us. How do we attach to the Shechina? So what does it mean? Elakachem ruchachamim b'feirish mitzvazu. Hidabek b'chachamim b'tamideyem. Ubo sidbak. If you want to attach yourself to Hashem, the way to do that is to attach yourself to the Chachamim. L'fichach tzarech adam lehishtadel shisa bas tamen chacham visa bita l'tamen chacham. There are many ways a person can attach, even if he's not a tamen chacham, how does he attach himself to a tamen chacham? He marries a bas of a tamen chacham, because then he's in the tamen chacham's house.
Yeah, he's in there.
That's an attachment. Sure.
He's in there, right? He's got it's a dangerous thing also.
Save that for another show.
Actually, on the table, I have a friend.
Off the record.
Who, you know, he comes from a very chashu family, and he said he wants to marry Bas Tam Chacham. And then he like went out with various Rosh Yeshiva's daughters, and then whoever set him up. And he said afterwards that, you know, he viewed himself as someone who's learning. He said, like, they would not necessarily always treat him so nicely, because they wanted to, you know, bolster themselves. And he said he married someone who was a good person, who, you know, learns his Kovaitim, and sometimes that works out. So that there's
just as good.
Tam Chacham doesn't necessarily mean the person who knows the most Torah, but
well, you see it right here. See, I mean, the truth is that you see here that you're supposed to learn also from their actions.
Their actions, right? So that's
so
right.
Torah is good, but I mean to be a.
So what we'll discuss when we get to the Mishnah in a few weeks. Where is it? Asel Charav, Mishnah above. So there's a Gemara that says, I'll have to see how this Gemara can apply now. You know, but the Gemara says that if that it compares a based on Pesukim and Navi, it compares a Rav to a Malach. And the Gemara says that if this person is like a malach to you, so go learn from him. If he's not, don't go learn from him. So it's very hard standard. You're saying lema sayim, but even if you know, we'll try to explain what that means. But on our level, also every chacham that you meet, there's definitely what to learn from. Everyone's obviously human. We have to realize that.
How do you know
he's a Talmud Chacham? So you have to, you see him teach Torah.
Can you decide a person is a Talmud Chacham by seeing what he does and how he conducts himself?
Certainly. A Talmud Chacham, on a basic level, for sure means he has a certain amount of Torah knowledge, right? He's considered, he's acquired of the Ramah, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, there's halachos of a Talmud Chacham.
Talmud Chacham doesn't translate into a Tavi.
Talmud Chacham does, it should, it does not necessarily, but I think in this context we probably mean something along, you know, his actions are positive actions, but there's halachos. For example, in Shulchan Aruch it says there are kulas and chumras, that sometimes it says that even though this is technically permitted, a Talmud Chacham should, it says it in Shulchan Aruch, a Talmud Chacham should go the extra mile and he should be stringent on this halacha, and sometimes we have kulas for Talmud Chachamim. Why? There's an example in Hilchos Ribbis that sometimes it says that this is technically, this Chazal don't like this thing. Why don't they like it? Because they're afraid if a person gets involved in it, he's going to get carried away with it. But we could trust the Talmud Chacham since he knows the halachic system and he'll know that this is technically permitted and it just looks fishy. But for him, he knows it's technically permitted because he knows the ins and outs of the halacha, so we will allow him to do it. Whereas for someone who doesn't know the laws, we say stay away from this because if you don't know the halachos, you're going to think that it's usher and we're letting you do this. So then you're going to end up doing worse and worse things. So in those contexts, the Ramah says, well, what makes someone, who is a Talmud Chacham that could benefit from that kula? So he has a very high standard. And the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham, we could return an Aveda to him, and he doesn't need to have the exacting standards as a regular person. A regular person needs to give simanim.
But you're looking at conduct rather than...
You're looking at, so the Ramah lists Torah knowledge. The base thing is Torah knowledge. The Ramah says he has to be proficient in most sugyas and shas, and has to be able to paskin just straight out without thinking about it so much. That's a high standard. So that some poskim say nowadays, do we have someone who's, you know, an average person who we call Talmud Chacham, they Talmud Chacham. But for this instance, what it means is for every generation, whoever's, you know, in one generation the standard is changes as we go down and down. But Talmudei Chacham mean on the first level, they have a higher, they have more Torah knowledge than your average Joe. And what also goes with it, that part of being a Talmud Chacham, as the Gemara in Yuma says, that you have to be mekadesh shem shemayim mis ahev al yadcha, that through your actions, people say, wow, look at Talmudei Chachamim, they have such upright actions. Now, if someone doesn't have perfect midos, he would still be a Talmud Chacham. It's just, okay, so everyone needs to work on the midos. If someone is, you know, publicly being over an averos, so then no matter how much Torah they learn, in terms of this halacha, they would for sure lose their status of Talmud Chacham. So we have to be mishtadel. So the first thing is, marry the daughter. Okay, we can't reach that. So, you have a daughter, you said bita la Talmud Chacham. Okay? Okay, you can't do that either. So at least you go, you find out, you know, when Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, back in when Moshe Feinstein, you find out when he would eat lunch. So you go and you sit when you eat lunch with him. Lech alishtosim Talmud Chacham. At a wedding, you go, you sit at
the crowd there already, you can't get in.
Okay, so at the wedding, you go and you find the Talmud Chacham at his
table. Sit down at the table.
You sit down at the table, you eat with him. Right, you invite him. Shabbos meal. Okay. and now what's okay, you can't do that either. Like, who are you to just show up and say, you know, I'm here for lunch, let's have a nice lunch together. So what do you do? Lasos pragmati to Talmud Chacham, you have a business. So you could offer your services to a Talmud Chacham, you do business with him. Leschaber lehen b'chol mini chibur shenemar ledavku bo. You attach to them in any way that you can. You be creative. It's not such an easy thing. You're creative. If you have something, the Gemara says, if you're mishana a Talmud Chacham, if you cause benefit to a Talmud Chacham, you give him something of your services. You know, you own an eyeglass store and you know he needs new glasses, so you say, you know, come in, I'll give you the 20% Talmud Chacham discount. So that the Gemara says, you've done a great thing. You've attached yourself to the Shechina.
And Talmud Chacham takes the
20%.
He might need it for nothing.
He might need it. Okay, we'll see. V'chein, what's the Rambam's whole proof? So that this mitzvah, he quotes the pasuk l'dav ko ba, but where does that mitzvah come from? V'chein savu chachamim, the chacham commanded us the amru having misavik ba'afar raglayhem v'shosa b'samis divrayhem. Our mishnah is the source of the mitzvah of l'dav ko ba, that in order to gain dveikus in Hashem, you attach yourself to Talmud Chacham. So how does this all connect to Dveikus? How does it that the Torah says to connect to Hashem? The answer is Talmidei Chachamim. So it's simple, and based on what actually fits with what we explained a few weeks ago in the Mishnah of Torah Vodim Gimel Chassadim. If we said the Torah is the blueprint of the world, and Torah is the way, we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's unknowable, but he gave us a Torah, so through his Torah we could figure out what his Ratzon is, what his want is. So Talmidei Chachamim are the living embodiment of the Ratzon Hashem, because they know it well, and they live it. So a person, by attaching themselves to Talmidei Chacham, can learn the ways of Hashem, because the Talmidei Chacham practices the ways of Hashem, and therefore you have Dveikus with the Talmidei Chacham. So we see from here, besides establishing our house as a base of the Chachamim, right, it's not enough to just learn Torah. You can't just say, get a library, you know, get the best teacher, sit in the room. If you haven't experienced that Dveikus to a Talmidei Chacham, to try to learn from their ways, so you have Torah as knowledge, but you don't have as what we call, and say in davening, Torah's Chaim. Right? If you want to make Torah alive, Torah's part of your life, and you want it to influence your whole house, that it goes beyond you, and you have now a base Eloki, as the Maharal says. So the way to do that is to create greater connection, Dveikus, and attaching ourselves to Talmidei Chachamim, and that's in terms of exactly how you said, in terms of Maisim, and how does that play itself out in terms of the learning, because that's obviously the main component. To attach ourselves to Torah, okay, we can have externals of a Beis Vad, and even more closer to the Torah itself, attaching to Chachamim. But what's the last part of the Mishnah? V'havishosa v'atzama es divrayim, and you should drink with thirst their words. Why do we refer to drinking, and why do we refer to their words? So if you look on the second source of the sheet, Rabbeinu Yonah, so we'll be going with a lot, one of the major commentaries of Avos, explains in his beautiful language, v'zeo kemo shenamar. Why does it say shosa? As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Nefesh Sava Tavos Nafos V'Nefesh Reva Kol Mar Masok. A satiated soul, no matter what he eats, if you're very full, so you eat, you know, you're at a very nice chasen or a nice restaurant, and you eat all the courses and you're really full, so even if the dessert table looks amazing, you can't bring yourself to eat it anymore because you know that it's not going to taste very pleasant after you've stuffed yourself with very filling food. But a Nefesh Reva, a thirsty soul, kol mar masok. Even something that's sweet is not normally seen as sweet. Something that's seen as bitter. But you're so thirsty, you're so hungry, any food right after the fast, that's why they say you shouldn't go to the supermarket on a fast day, because you're going to want everything, and you buy this, and you say, I don't even eat this. Why don't I buy it? Because when you're hungry, everything looks good. And you look through the coupons, and you say, oh, that looks great. And I would never eat that in a million years. So even something that you can normally consider mar, when you're thirsty, it's masok, it's sweet. What does that mean? Mishu sava mi divrei Torah. If you're satiated already from Torah, hey, that sounds like a really good thing. We all want to be satiated with Torah. Since we've been a yonah, it's not so simple. Depends what it means to be satiated. Ve'in chafsu behen, then it's like you're overstuffed. Feel omrim lam argilios betorah. If you think, you know, if you're added to the Torah, I heard that already. Another shir on that topic, I heard that already. You know, it's, everyone gives up the same josh, the same shir, the same old. When am I going to hear something new? Even if they tell you an amazing pearl, right, margilios, amazing diamond, a big chedesh, you're going to say, oh, I heard that already, not so interested in it. Tavos also nasho, your nefesh is going to say, not for me. But if you're thirsty, you're hungry, v'hara'ev mehem, u'mis'av l'shamam, and you always want to hear another word, another nice idea. So even if they tell you like a very simple thing, they say, oh, you know, I saw this amazing Rashi in this week's Parsha, and he doesn't really add anything to the Rashi, he just tells you the Rashi. Same Rashi you've been learning from second grade, you'll say, wow. Another Rashi, a person who's thirsty for Torah, even a simple Rashi, he'll say to himself, "Feel Omer Davar below time." They don't add any flavor to it. Yamtik b'fiu, it's gonna be sweet in your mouth. V'yismach bo, you'll be happy with it. Sheyodeh shu emes, acher shurabu amro. Why? Because havishosu b'tzames tveim. Your Rebbe said it. You've heard the same. Some Rebbeim will say the same on purpose. We'll say in the same Parsha Shir and the same Vort every year. You know, Parsha Chayisar, they'll say this Parshas. They'll say the same exact vort, three or four, you know, every time, three or four same vorts. But that's okay, because your Rebbe's saying it, you know that it's true, and you enjoy hearing the truth, because you're not interested in learning just because it's exciting. You want, as we saw last week with the Rambam, also MS from Nesho MS, we want to just do what's true. So if we see that there's a value in the truth of Divrei Torah, so it's nice to hear a fancy shir, or someone can put things together. There's also to learn with a little child, and you sit down and you learn Chumash Rashi. So there's also, it's not just you're doing because you want to learn with a child. There's excitement there. Because a person who is Shosa Vesama, he's always thirsty, then he'll enjoy the Divrei Torah. So the idea that Rabbi Yonah is touching on, and we'll see this in the next commentator, is what we call She'ifa or Cheshek or Ratzon, desire. That part of the key element, according to these two Tanayim, the key element in being successful and making Torah part of our lives and personality is to desire it, to want it. To not just say, it's the same old, what are you going to tell me, what have I heard already, or I have to drag myself to get up and learn and listen. Where's the excitement? But a person should try to find and desire and have excitement in learning, and that will influence the rest of the Mishnah, the rest of his life, his connection to the Chachamim, the Torah infusing his whole household. But the key to the Mishnah is the last line, is the excitement. And if you look in this next, I think the first time we're quoting him, but a very important commentator on Avos, is known as the Chassid Yavetz. Who's the Chassid Yavetz? So there's one Yavetz that you shouldn't confuse him with. There's Rabbi Yonatan Abeshitz. He was also, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, sorry. Funny that I confused the two, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But that's not this Yavetz. He wrote a separate sefer called the Yavetz. So let me just get his straight name.
Yavetz was pretty popular.
Yes, so he was in the 1400s. And his name was, let me just find it here. Here we go. His name was Rabbi Yosef Yavetz HaDorish. I don't know what the Yavetz stands for, but I don't know so much about him biographically. One thing I do know is that he was amongst, I think in the introduction to this Pirkei Avos, it talks a little bit more about him, but he was amongst the Grushei Sfard. He was kicked out of Spain in the Inquisition in 1492. I think he made his way to some other Mediterranean country and eventually made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and they called him the Chassid Yavetz because that was his personality. He was of great piousness, and he wrote a perush on Pirkei Avos. He shouldn't. He's probably not in there. After we turn it off, I could read you. There's a thing in the introduction here. They discuss his life a little bit. Find it. It talks.
When was he?
He was part of the the Inquisition in the 1400s. He was kicked out of Spain with the Inquisition. So that was the 14th. He lived definitely within the 14 and the early 1500s. So this is what he says on the Mishnah. He says a short line after more of his commentary. He says, what's a remez to remember all the different teachings that we just taught you? So he says, Dvarim b'divrei Atana, how do we sum up all the words of this Mishnah? Cheshek, desire. How do you see that? Because, what's Cheshek? Cheshek, Shiflus, and Kvias. There are three things that are in this Mishnah. Cheshek, desire, that's how he shows him as some as Devrayim. Shiflus, to see yourself as low, because some Mepharshim say, what does it mean, it's Abik Ba'afar Raglayim? Why is it specifically the dust of their feet? Because a person should lower himself to the Chachamim. He shouldn't view himself as, I'm high, we're equals. I'm Mis'Abik Ba'afar Raglayim. I'm getting down on the dust of their feet. I'm lowering myself to them. I'm subjugating myself to them. There's a story I saw connected to this Mishnah that Rav Shalom Shvadran, who was the Magid of Yerushalayim and all the Pesach Kron Magid books, so he's the original Magid. So he was a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and in his yeshiva, his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliyahu Lopian, who was one of the great members of the Musar movement who came from Europe to Eretz Yisrael in the 40s. So he came to visit that yeshiva, and he gave a speech, and his Talmud, who was then a big Rebbe in the yeshiva of Shvadran the Magid, so he listened to the whole speech, and he, spoke to him, and ate with him, and brought him around, and showed him the whole yeshiva, and at the end, as he was leaving, he literally got down on his all fours, he got down and lied down on the ground, right in front of Rabbi Olopian's feet, and then escorted him out. I don't know if he kissed his feet, or he just got down on the floor in front of him, and I think it's Talmud that asked him. Somebody asked him afterwards, that was a very strange thing to do. You kind of made it embarrass yourself a little bit. So he said no. He wanted to infuse in the hearts of his Talmidim, literally, I wanted to be Mekayim the words of Chazal, Havi Mis'athik Ba'afar Aglayim. And I wanted to show them, that's how far I'll go to respect my Rebbe, to lower myself, to humble myself for my Rebbe. So that. What?
He didn't have a daughter.
He didn't have a daughter?
It's the same.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, no, he was older, yeah. And then Shiflus, right, so that's Shiflus, by lowering ourselves to the Chachamim in a positive way. And the first thing, Beis Vav Chachamim, is a Kvias, is having your house established on a regular basis, right? It's always, if you're consistent in your house is consistently a place of a Beis Vav Chachamim, then the Chacham will come. So he says, that's Roshi Tevos Cheshek. Ches for Cheshek, Shin for Shiflis, Kuf for Kvius, that's our Mishnah. The three teachings of the Mishnah could all be summed up in the word Cheshek, desire. And here the Mefarshim all speak about the importance of a person having that desire. A person wants to be successful in, as we said, integrating his personality and in infusing his whole household with Torah. The basic thing that he needs is desire. And there are countless stories and examples in the writing of all, from all stripes, all the great Talmidei Chachamim, all the generations, all the Gedolei Yisrael, they all say this is the main point. They say, you know, they speak to young people and they say, don't think, Rav Huttner, I think the letter that we quoted last week, I think it might be the same letter or a similar idea. Rav Huttner in the letter says, don't think, it gives the example of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim became the Chavetz Chaim overnight, and Gedolim were born Gedolim. So the only way they achieved that is through hard work. And don't think it was because they were blessed necessarily with the highest intellect and they were always the smartest and always the biggest tzaddik. He said they worked and they struggled and they may have even, and they definitely have, he said, Fender says, they definitely have had challenges and even and they've even failed. But through their failures, they're able to pick up and reconstruct and propel themselves forward. Why? Because they all have the common denominator between all Gedolim and all people who are successful is they have desire. It's one thing to have brains, but that can only get you a certain place. You know, there's a story with a well-known story of Chaim Shmulevitz when he was in Europe, the great Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. So when he was in Europe, he was learning in one yeshiva and he went to go visit. So he had a relative who was a Rosh Yeshiva in a different yeshiva, so he went to go visit. And the relative took him around, and Reb Chaim said to him, you know, show me who the best guy in yeshiva is, and show me. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, well, here, over here, he's the smartest guy. And over here is the biggest masman, and over here, ask the best questions. But then he said, this boy over here, he's the best. Why is he the best? He's not the smartest, and he may not be the biggest masman, but he said, he has the strongest desire, and I could see it, he has the strongest desire, strongest thirst, as we said, Shosu Betzama, to grow. And how does a person acquire a thirst for Torah is what we're describing here. So that is basically what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, that a person should try to excite themselves and realize that, okay, it's, at first it seems, may seem not as exciting, as Rashi says in Chumash, that by Matan Torah, that in the beginning Torah was difficult for Klal Yisrael, but he says in the end, Rashi says, I guarantee for you, if you connect to it, it will become sweet for you. That's what Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah. And it's true for all of us, that the more we accustom ourselves to not having that attitude that Rabbeinu Yonah describes of, I heard this already, or what could another shiur, but to try to get excited, try to find areas of Torah that excite us and connect ourselves to Torah. But, and I was thinking as I was going through this, even for someone like me, I know you won't like to hear that, but for young people, you know, young yeshiva students, so this is a very easy message. You tell them you have to desire, and you know they have the whole lives in front of them of learning, and you know they'll get going and they'll have the motivation. But as you know, people get older and they've already lived part of their life, so they'll say, okay, I see, I have desire, or I may or may not have desire, but I'm not going to be, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva or the great. I'm basically where I am. So how does the idea of being thirsty and desiring Torah work for people who are not necessarily, you know, their first year learning in yeshiva? So this we see from Yaakov Avinu. He is a good example of the attitude to have. So as we learn in the beginning of the Parsha, it's the famous interaction between Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov is nervous for Esav meeting up with him again, and he sends to him gifts and wants to give him a mincha, the Torah calls it, a way to appease Esav and to try to get him to not be angry at him anymore. So what's the interaction? So first he sends the different groups with the messages and he makes a separation. And then finally he meets up with Esav, and this is in Perek Lamed Gimel. And then he says first the Shifchos come and they bow down, and then Leah comes and then Rachel comes. And then Esav says, V'yomer milecha pasukhes, not in the sheet, V'yomer milecha kol machana, zeh asher pigashti, V'yomer. Esav says, what is this whole thing, this whole big group with all the gifts and everything? V'yomer limso chen b'nei Adoni, I want to find favor in your eyes. V'yomer Esav, I don't need it. Yishli rav achi, yilcha shalach. You keep what's yours, I have a lot already, Esav says. Then Yaakov continues, V'yomer Yaakov al na, im na matzai sechen b'neicha, v'kachte min chasim yadi, please take it from me, ki al kein ra'isi panecha kiros p'nei Elokim. V'tartzeini, right, I saw your face, I already had this whole fight with the Malach, and I was able to conquer him. Whatever that has to do with this is not for now. He says, Kach, Pasuk Yud-Aleph, this is on the sheet, Kach nas birchasi asher hevis, hevis alecha, ki chani elohim v'chi yesh lichol v'yifser bo v'yikach. He says, take my mincha, take this present, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, take it from me. And he says, v'chi yesh lichol, I have everything, Yaakov says. Rashi says, everything I need. I don't need anything. This is what I want to give to you. I don't need anything. So the Mefarshim very sharply point out the difference between the language of Esav and the language of Yaakov. Esav says, Yesh li rav. I don't need your gifts. I have
a lot.
And Yaakov says,
Kol.
So what's the difference between rav and kol? Where do they come from? So the Kli Yakar, right here on
that's
the spot.
The question you should ask.
Right, that's an Isaac type question there, right? Kol and rav, and why Yaakov, why Esav? So the Kli Yakar,
this came back from Israel.
The Kli Yakar explains, and the Chavetz Chaim also on his Perush Al Torah right here in Vayishlach says a similar idea, and he's talking about matters of not spiritual matters of success in Torah and mitzvos, but even in simple
general
of olam hazeh of property and acquisitions. So he says this is the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. A rasha will say even if he does have a lot. And he probably has all that he needs. It's never enough. Yeshli Rav. I have a lot. But a lot means there could always be room for more. So no matter what Esav had, he couldn't be happy, and he needed more. And Yaakov, even if he had much less than that, as he says earlier in Rishon, right? Kiva Makali of Arti as a Yarden, as I came across the Yarden with nothing. And he asked for, what does he ask for? Kadosh Baruch Hu, beg it, right? Lechem Lechel, beg a lobo. She says, I just want food and
clothing,
that's it. But he still says, Yeshli Kol, and I can be satisfied. And that attitude of Yaakov, that I can be satisfied with what I have, if you see how well it does for him, because we learn a few psukim later, this is in Pasuk Yud Ches, right, as we say, that after this whole thing, then Yaakov traveled on, Esav wanted to go with him, and Yaakov said, no, I don't want to be around you, let's you know, distance ourselves from each other. And then it says that Yaakov came to Sukkos, and he built Sukkos, and then in Pasuk Yud Ches, the last source on the sheet, V'yavol Yaakov Shalim Ir Shechem Hashem Eretz Kanan Bevo Mipadlan Aram V'yachan Etz Pnei Ir. Yaakov came Shalim. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Brachos, Gemara in Shavis, Shalim Begufo, Shnes Rapa Mitzvah Aso. He was cured from the limp that he got from the Tzaro Shal Esav, the angel. Shalim B'mamono, Shalom Chasar Klum Mikol Osta Doren. He didn't lose Adam by giving the gift to Esav. Shalim B'Taraso, that he never forgot his learning in Beis Lavan. But Yaakov achieved, Torah says that he achieved Shleimus, and it's clear, just looking in the Pesukim, what brought him to this Shleimus is the attitude of Kol. The person has the attitude of Kol, of being satisfied with what he has, so then he'll eventually achieve Shleimus, because he won't be always searching for the next thing. He'll be able to take what he has, and be able to build on what he has, and achieve what we consider to be Shleimus. So now you'll say that we really set up a contradiction. When it comes to Torah, we say how they show sevet samas devrayim. You have to always be searching. You have to always be thirsty. You have to always want more. You'll never be satiated. And when it comes to regular things, a person for sure should have the attitude of yeshli kol, and whatever I have. But the truth is, and I think it's true for people with experience, that it also is true in spiritual matters as well. Because on one hand, we have to be thirsty, and we always have to have a desire. On the other hand, a person should be able to look back on their life and their accomplishments, and they should be able to say even about their spiritual accomplishments, yeshli kol, not in the sense that I don't want any more, but in the sense that, which is the difference between a young person. A young person, all he has in front of him is his desires. But he can't say, oh, but I also have all these positive experiences in which I could build off of. But for people who've experienced and have achieved some of these things that we're describing, so you could say yeshli kol. You could look back and say, wow, I accomplished something, right? I went through shas and daf yomi, or I've learned Chumash this many times, or I had these chavrusas, or I've had these chesed accomplishments. All our accomplishments, you're able to look back and you could really say, yeshli kol. Not that I should stop, but that's a new motivation to propel ourselves forward. Someone who is just beginning his quench of his thirst, so he'll want more and more. But someone who's already drunken so much, the uniqueness of Torah is that it doesn't get stale, it doesn't get old, but the more you drink, the more thirsty you become. So to have the attitude of Yaakov Avinu, Yeshli Kol, not to just be happy with what we have in our physical needs, but also in our spiritual needs. We can look back and say, Yishli Kol, I'm not done yet. I have a lot more to do, but I've done things. I've actually accomplished things that I can be proud of. And the Vilna Gaon, in his parish on Mishlei, says this idea in a little bit of a different way, but this idea of actually being satiated in Torah, which then should propel us to want to drink more. Pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chafei says, Tzadik ochel l'sol nafsho, a tzadik eats so that his soul should become satiated, uvetin rishayim techaser, but the stomach, the belly of a rasha is always lacking. So how does the Gra say this pasuk means? That's the similar idea to what we're saying about Yaakov and Esav. The rasha is always lacking, the tzadik always has, but the Gra says, it's true in Torah also. He says, chen b'torah, tzadik ochel l'svoa. Why did the tzadik learn? Not so that he should be able to just take it as much as he wants, like a rasha. He wants to be satiated through his Torah. What does that mean? Shalomir b'chdesh yasava, ve'ino roa imat v'imharbe. He doesn't care, have I finished Shas? Right, as the Gemara says, echad amarbe, ve'echad amayid, as long as the person, even if he does a lot or a little, b'vaj yichabin libel l'shamayim, if a person can say, I worked for 3 hours, and I only understood, you know, this amount of Gemara and like this amount of Tosos, that's okay. You don't have to necessarily finish Shas in one sitting. Why? Because why does the tzaddik learn? The tzaddik doesn't learn so he should know everything. He learns because he knows that's the right thing to do. So it doesn't matter, as long as he's trying hard, how much or how little he accomplishes. Rak shuyodeya abiryo v'yisba nashu v'yikayman. He wants to understand it. That's what it means to be satiated. He wants to understand Torah. But what does a Russian want? A Russian just wants people to think that he's a chacham. So he doesn't want to necessarily understand it all. He wants to be able to learn it all and say, I learned all these things. What does it mean for him? Nothing. Because as the pasuk says, his belly is always missing something. But a person should be satiated, according to the Gra, in Torah, even with the little that he's done. Even more so with the more that he's accomplished. And that's really the lesson that we learn from Yaakov Avinu, and to achieve to be Shalim, that there's one thing of Sheifa in the beginning of your journey, right? Those people, they have the newness, the excitement, the freshness. But people who have already journeyed and already traveled down and have many times have been shosa b'tzames devrayim, they can continue to be thirsty, right, as we titled this year, to thirst and to be satiated, to have both those things together, to take the svia, the satiation, and to turn it into more thirst. That's a new way of looking at what the Yaivit says in our mission of cheshek, of desire. Because if you've actually tasted it and have acquired it, so your desire for it is much more because you've already had it. And that's really what, to sum up the whole Mishnah, that's really what the Mishnah is teaching us, to have that attitude, to always be thirsting, and then to attach ourselves, as the Rambam said, as the mitzvah of Dveikus Tamil Chachamim, we can achieve, as the Mishnah said, Beis Vaad L'Chachamim, where our Torah becomes more than just books, more than just shiurim and teachers. It becomes part of us, it becomes a way of attaching to Tamil Chachamim and learning from their actions, and then to have a Beis Vaad L'Chachamim, you can change the whole community, you can change your family, change yourself, change the whole community. People look at that house and they say, that's, as the Maharal said, that's a Beis Eloki, that's a holy place, it's just a house. But no, we have the ability through this mission to turn even a simple house to be a very holy and profound thing if we keep the lessons of the Mishnah in mind.